You're listening to Improvisations. We're talking with Mike Baghetta, who is a New Yorker, I guess. For a while, at least.
Yeah, maybe not so much anymore.
You were a New Yorker and you moved to Knoxville. Is that the true story?
That's the true story, yeah. I've been officially a resident for, I guess, about 4 or 5 months now.
And is the reason because there were no places to play jazz in New York, so you thought you'd move down here?
Yeah, everything is closed. No, I mean, there's obviously still a bunch of great places to play that I'm still fortunate to be able to play at, as well as lots of other places all over the country, and there's a lot of places to play in Knoxville I've been finding too, but there could be a long answer to this question, but the shorter version is that my girlfriend of 2.5 years lives here, and we were long distance for a while. And then the other half of that answer is that I had been living in New York for about 15 years, and I'm not really a city guy in my day-to-day chosen lifestyle. So I figured, it's 2000 and, well, now it's 2017, but, you know, I was thinking like it's well into the 21st century. Does everybody still have to live in the same city after kind of meeting a bunch of people and stuff? So, I'm excited to kind of try to keep doing what I do from somewhere else too.
Did you have any culture shock at all coming to Knoxville, even though you were looking for maybe a less gigantic city experience anyway, but
asking if I did would sort of imply that I've had it and it's over. But I think I'm currently in the throes of adapting to some differences between North and South. I've never lived in the South before. I've spent very little time in various cities down here traveling or for gigs or projects or whatever, but living here has been something to kind of get used to. Not that much, though. I mean, it's just sort of stuff like people say hello to you and you're expected to kind of like smile and say hello back and not like look at them like they're crazy. Like, why are you talking to me? So just stuff like that I've been having to get used to. But happily, you know, I feel like maybe I'm becoming a slightly better person because of it.
It's kind of interesting because I had the reverse experience when I was up north for a bit, and I remember thinking how nice it is to be able to go through the supermarket line at such a speed because I don't have to talk to the person, you know.
Yeah, that stuff is cool. It goes a lot faster up there, right? But then you do everything so fast that after like a couple of weeks, you kind of want to just, for me anyways, I don't know, I kind of want to just chill out a little bit with day-to-day stuff. So it's nice to be able to do that when I'm here and to have... What it translates to is to have a lot more time to work on the things I want to work on. You know, it gives me a lot more time to write music. It gives me a lot more time to practice. It gives me a lot more time to plan tours with my groups and stuff like that. Things that were time and space and money were definitely at much more of a premium than they are now. So,
well, speaking of speed and all those other issues, to me, you sound like a guitar player that has all the chops, has done all the studying, can play really, really fast if you want to, but often choose not to play really, really fast. But that's, I think, one of the appeals of your guitar playing. Am I reading that correctly, or am I reading it in any way that resonates?
Yeah, you are. Again, it's like, I know, again, for me to sort of agree with that would mean that I've sort of put a lot of thought into it, and I don't know if I have, besides trying to translate what I want to hear into figuring out how I want to play that. I definitely don't feel like I have all the chops or that I could do anything like that, but I do have, I think, created a kind of aesthetic vision of what I like about music and what I want to do personally that might be different than some other things that are being done in genres that are related to what my music falls into. But yeah, I mean, I like the idea that things can sort of take their time to grow and develop. That's always been a main interest to me of all the different types of music I like to listen to. For better or worse, this falls under, you know, the jazz genre or the modern jazz genre, but I definitely don't limit myself to just that. I love that music, but I'm influenced by, you know, modern classical music and you know, garage rock and country music and, you know, 60s, 50s, 60s pop music, all kinds of stuff. And the quality that I like in all those different types of things that appeal to me are things that are patient.
Do you feel that's reflected in your new recording? It's called Spectre, and it features Jerome Harris and Billy Mintz, a trio record. What are you feeling about the record now that it's already been hatched? It's out in the world.
I really like it, you know, which, I'm biased, right? But, like, I really think it's a good album. I think it's, you know, the most honest representation of what I do to date, which you kind of feel that way about all the records you make, I think, hopefully. But this one maybe feels really personal, and I'm happy that it's been getting well received.
What's a favorite track off here? And I know they're all your babies, but come on, we know that parents always have a favorite kid.
I like the track that's called Passage a lot. I think it does a good job of exploring the patience required to develop a right point for the melody to come in and for the song to develop and for the improvisation to grow.
Let's check it out. The new recording is Spectre. Mike Baghetta on guitar and leading the group. This is the track called Passage. Insert music here.
Are you going to cut that out?
I hope not. We'll see how brave I get. How wimpy I become.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
From a new recording called Spectre by Mike Baghetta, who's recently transplanted to Knoxville. I noticed in the thank yous you thank Nels Klein. Is he a kindred musical spirit? I feel you guys, in a way, have a similar thing going on that, yeah, okay, I'm in the jazz world, whatever you want to, if you say that's where I am, that's where I am, but it's really just music and I'm playing whatever's coming out.
Yeah, that's definitely an appealing quality to his playing to me, for sure. I mean, you know, we're not like besties or anything by far, but I've gotten to know him a little bit over the past few years, just crossing paths at, you know, different festivals, or we know a lot of people in common and stuff like that. But, you know, we definitely get along, and he's been really generous with some time and advice to me, and has been really helpful in a number of different ways, for sure. But yeah, I mean, he's a really good example. I mean, everybody knows who he is right now, so he's also a really good example of someone that can kind of take a lot of influences from a lot of different types of music and turn it into something personal. You know, there are so many influential to me artists whose aesthetic choice is kind of just built around personal taste and not dictated by barriers that other people define music by.
Is it true if you go to his house and you open a door, like 10,000 petals fall out the front door?
I've never been to his house.
Me either. In fact, I'm making
it's getting true about my place, though.
Is it? Yeah, tell me about that, because I know we have a lot of musicians that listen to the show. Guitar pedals, how many will you lug to a gig?
I was hoping the conversation would come to this. Yeah, right. Effects are like the thing people kind of like to stare at and ask you about and take pictures of and whatever. And I'm curious about them as much as anybody else. But I think at this point, you know, you kind of, as an artist, you kind of develop an idea of what you want to be able to do with an instrument to serve the music. And I think of effects and different electronics units like that are just really an extension of the instrument in terms of how they're going to help me explore the sounds that are necessary for what I want to do. So that being said, I have sort of a setup that is kind of my constant, which is, you know, in a pretty sizable hard case that I can check or lug around and stuff. And it consists of, you know, a couple of distortion devices. A volume pedal is very important. A couple of different looper and sampler devices are very important. So those are kind of the basics. And, you know, things come and go, and I'm always sort of checking stuff out. But rarely is it a case of, like, using something for the sake of using it. You know, like, if it doesn't serve the music, it's not going to necessarily find a place for me.
So you've got this guitar and you got these pedals. You have to justify them by playing live. Do you have places? That's my feeling.
I do?
You can. One can justify pedal purchasing by okay. Live performance. It's written down.
Noted.
Where around Knoxville can people see you play this music? And who do you play with when you play around here?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of great musicians around here that I've been really happy and fortunate to meet. That's another great thing about just to sort of like talk kindly of Knoxville since we're on the air here. I really like it here, and one of the main reasons is because the musical community here has been so incredibly welcoming to me, basically as an outsider, you know, just kind of coming here and trying to meet people and play and stuff. You know, it's not always the case in a scene where people have been around for a while. You know, sometimes people are kind of, you know, not into somebody else coming in, but like I have not met one person that was not totally generous and kind and fun to hang out with.
I got some people you need to meet then, because we need to break that we need to break that record.
Okay, well, ask me again next year.
Okay.
But there's, you know, there's a bunch of great places that I've played at so far that I like. I really like playing at Barley's in Knoxville. I really like the Pilot Light. I really like the Red Piano Jazz Club out in Bearden. I really like playing at the Bistro at the Bijou Theater. You know, it's just, you know, they're really cool, laid-back places that treat you nicely and so far have let me play, you know, basically the kinds of things that I play, which has been surprising a little bit because it can be a little left of center, but you know, people have been like welcoming and interested, so it's been cool.
We're talking with guitarist Mike Baghetta, based here in Knoxville now after being in New York for a while, but being from Massachusetts. We're going to finish off with a track of his choosing from the recording Thieves and Secrets. Do you have a favorite track off this record, Thieves and Secrets?
Yeah, in fact, I think everybody ought to hear the title track named Thieves and Secrets, which is not written by me, but written by a good friend of mine in Massachusetts named Nathan Blehar. And I think it's a really beautiful song. So that one might be a good choice.
All right. You are listening to Improvisations. We're talking with guitar player Mike Baghetta, who has just relocated to Knoxville from New York. This is from his recording, which we now have again in our station, Thieves and Secrets, the title track. Insert music here. You can't use that joke twice. You can't leave it in twice. Otherwise, it'll be even less funny.
Unless you commit and you do it all the way through the show.
Yeah, like a Mel Brooks movie where just like the running gag just won't stop. You know? Okay, then. Insert third reference to running gag here and then cue up Mike Baghetta's Thieves and Secrets. Press to play. Release the hound. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.